Let's go, Baldy.
Yes, my friend.
That about nothing. We made this, man.
You did it?
Did you see that? Oh, it's professional.
It's beautiful.
You have to, exactly, but.
Nice and straight.
So, hey, that on that. I'm so grateful, man, because now you're so busy. And before you have the big head and you came a superstar, you know, I'm grateful you're here at No BS with SB.
Hey.
Wassim.
That's right. Wassim. Yeah.
Wassim.
Yeah.
El Moun.
I'm going to let you finish.
El Mounri.
El Munzer. Yeah.
Wassim El Munzer. It's beautiful, man. You could be a great director or producer, man.
You think so? With a name because it's nobody can remember?
No, it's because I'm poor. But everybody remember Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So but it's the same thing with the respect, you know? So when you're going to be respectable, people are going to remember your name. And after that, I don't know, like Steven Spielberg, you know what I mean?
Right. I think this is too much for people. Because Wassim, people are like, I don't know.
Oh, they don't get it?
Yeah.
Wassim, for me, it's easy. It's El Munzer.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's rare. It's romantic.
I might be the only one in the world.
Exactly. Me, it's Sebastian Borgo. You know what? I can do nothing with that. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
No, but, it's got a punch. Borgo. I like
it. Yeah, I know. Because I always say that negatively. Like, my name is Sebastian Borgo.
Yeah. No, but anyway, it's strong.
But it's not like that. It's Sebastian Borgo. It's Wassim.
Yeah.
El Munzer.
If people get it, most people mess it up. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. More in French. It's weird. In French, people always miss my name in French. They call me Stéphane.
Stéphane?
No, Stéphane Boudreau.
Stéphane Boudreau? Was that a person who, another guy? Or okay.
No, I don't
maybe
know.
It was probably like their French teacher in grade 2.
Maybe they remember another guy who resigned my name. But what a great explosion in your career. Are you all right?
I'm doing good, man.
No, you can be comfortable.
Can I lean back?
Yeah. I just want to be sure,
Can you still see me?
Yeah.
You know?
No, I saw you.
What if I've been back this far?
No, you're right. No, it's all right.
Sometimes my neck.
No, it's why I have a white screen.
Oh, perfect. Good.
You know, because in real life, we are very proche.
Yeah. We're touching knees right now.
I know. Sorry, man.
It's fine.
It's the only way.
That's how I wanted it.
I can bring Wassim in my life. So I'll do a fake podcast.
Yeah, so you can touch him. Yeah, absolutely. No, I figured,
But I want to talk about why you need so much attention in life. You know what I mean?
Why do I need attention?
Yes.
Oh, just being a comedian? Yes,
that's not normal. Sure. Nobody said, I want to go there. If you don't need attention.
Sure.
Okay? And because, you know, me, I do a podcast because I want to show to the people in the world, No BS with SB, that it's possible to succeed in Montreal. It's not just for laugh. All everybody right. respect just for laugh, but they think it's too weak. You know what I mean? After it's done, we exist.
Sure.
And you're the proof of success.
Oh, we're getting there, man. Exactly. I appreciate that's your perspective from the outside. Exactly.
Is it like that, your career? Or like that?
It's like this. It's a wave.
No, I know. This is... Yeah. You know? But this is good.
Good
so you're like a dolphin in comedy, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a wave and it's wet because I'm crying a lot. Tears.
Oh, yeah. Are you serious when you say that?
Yes. I really am, actually. I know it's a trope, but like...
You cry a lot?
I don't physically cry, but...
No, don't be shy because it's... I don't.
No, cry. I'm not ashamed. I've cried.
Exactly my point.
I don't say I necessarily physically cry from comedy.
So you never have a Walder here?
Not never. Oh, man. You know, I've been doing it 6 years. Yeah, for sure.
So it's full-time 6 years?
No. I started in South Korea. I don't know if you...
No. We're going to know.
Shit.
Wow.
Okay, deep, bro.
Because, listen, it's because I am so pumped to having you and talk about your success, but you're right. We're gonna start nobody watch a movie at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's rewind. Okay.
I do come in late to movies a lot, but generally, I know what you mean. Yeah, I feel you.
What did you say?
Sometimes I enter the movie late, you know?
I never say porn movie.
Oh, okay.
Because porn movie, I do that too.
Yeah,
to be sure, which one is my favorite.
Sure. And then you're like, that's not quite good enough. I need the perfect,
You like that? I'm like that. Yeah, I will not put remember the time when you rent a movie?
Are we talking about porn or just movies?
Just porn.
Okay.
I will not start with the first
porn.
One.
No, I never rented porn.
You never?
No.
Oh,
I was like, when Blockbuster closed, I was like 13.
Me, I have the ugly...
14?
I have no choice. If at the time you have to go rent point movie, man.
That's wild.
And it was weird because every time I arrived at the cash machine, if it was a guy, it was like, good job. If it was a lady, I was screwed.
And I have to go back home. That's it.
And I have to pretend it's like, it's not for me, you know? It's a research, you know?
Yeah,
and
it's research.
No, but she judging me. Oh, you're going to masturbate? I said, no, see, I'm going to take a popcorn, you know? Like,
sure, yeah. Like I'm going to see the stroke technique.
I'm going to watch it, eat the popcorn, and go sleep. You know? Yeah. So it was not fun, man.
That's wild, yeah.
Do you have brother and sister? You know the switch?
Porn from brother and sister, yeah.
How?
There is, yeah, there's brother sister porn. But I do have a brother and sister. Never done porn with them.
No,
yet.
I have three sisters.
Okay.
Nah, never thought about that.
Yeah, I have older brother, older sister.
Okay,
yeah.
Older, so you're the youngest, so you need attention a lot in your family.
Sure.
Yeah. What is your nationality?
Lebanese.
Lebanese?
Yeah. And we love attention, just culturally. So yeah, there's so many layers.
Everybody needs attention. Yeah. The American is they need a lot of attention. Americans,
sure.
You know what I mean?
I mean
they want to be everywhere.
I guess. Yeah.
You know, they want to control everybody.
Oh, on a world scale.
Yeah.
They do meddle with people a lot. Yeah.
So when did you realize you need attention? Is it because you want to impress your mother, your father? Is it because your older brother was cool? And you want to
My
be
older
like
brother
you?
Was cool. Okay. Yeah, he was cool. I don't know if I ever realized I needed attention except now. I think you're right. I saw it as more of a... I see comedy, because I do agree with you in a sense that there is like... Sometimes there's got to be some kind of drive past just, I don't like being funny. Or I like making people laugh. That's obviously a part of it. I think for me, if I can be very vulnerable and honest, it's more of a need for approval than attention.
From whom?
I think strangers, just from general public, you know what I mean? Just from everybody.
Yeah, but who was
I don't know
your...
if there's anyone in...
So your father, mother, or you never want to impress like you're
somebody... I want my mom to be proud of me because she's cool and I respect her, I like her. But I don't know if it's like I can trace it back to my mother for particularly, okay, you know what I mean?
And so your father?
My father died when I was very, very young. Okay, yeah, when I was 9.
So it's why your brother take the place of... Your superhero.
I think my brother was cool before that, but he's a cool guy. He's
because
cool.
When you're young, you need to find mentor, you know?
Sure.
Me, it was always like, I want to impress my father.
Okay.
Because my father was the funny guy in the family. Mm. And I start to say, hey, I would like to be like that too, you know? But he have a lot of advantage of me. He was an adult, I was just a kid, you know what I mean? And I always want to prove I'm a good person in life.
Right.
Okay? Look at me, you know?
Yeah.
Why watch me? Look, I'm gonna do a trick with my BMX. Look, father, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Need attention like that. It was not like that in your life? To show to... Because you said stranger, so it was not your family. You
want. A little bit. I mean, I want my family's approval a lot. Like, my sister, my brother, I respect them a lot, my mom.
Yeah.
I want them to be proud of me, sure. But I don't know if, like... I would say I started comedy because I'm like, oh, come on, brother.
No,
like,
no, I never said start comedy. I start to need attention.
Start to need attention.
Because the comedy arrived very far, you know? Because you never said to your mother when you were young, someday I'm going to be a comedian.
No, I don't think so. Not when I was young. No,
when did you know you're funny?
I mean, I like to make people laugh. Like kindergarten, I like making other kids laugh.
So you remember at the kindergarten?
I do remember in kindergarten.
Wow.
I still remember we had nap time, but I couldn't sleep. Still to this day. Right? I was an insomniac even back then. I could have trouble sleeping. And I still remember. I used to carpool with this girl named Zara Ramji. I still remember. And we were in kindergarten.
How old are you?
I was five, six.
And you remember that?
I remember this. I remember... Wow. We would have nap time, and I think alphabetically our names were next to each other, so we would nap next to each other. And this was my big joke. My huge punchline was I would take off my sock, and underneath it, I would have another sock. I would wear like 5 pairs of socks, and I'd be like, hey, look, hey, Zara, psst. She's like, I'm trying to sleep. I'm like, shut up, watch this. I would take off my sock, and she found it hilarious. For some reason. Yeah, she's 6.
No,
man. She's
5. No, don't judge yourself.
Hey,
it's funny.
A good joke.
It's funny.
Right now, looking back, pretty good bit for 5
you
years old.
You could right away do it again.
Yeah.
If you have... Do it to me now.
I stopped the sock trick probably 2 years into comedy.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
My opener.
Where did you find that to put 5 socks on each foot?
Yeah, each foot 4. Yeah.
Where did you find that?
I don't know. I was because, five. I don't know.
No, no. So, you go, so
this maybe one day it was cold and I did it and I showed her and she thought it was funny.
Okay, see,
so I kept doing it.
Yeah.
I think I did it. I didn't think of it like
yes,
oh,
exactly.
Great.
You did not prepare that.
I think
it was cold. You put a lot of size.
Yeah, and I took it off and she burst out laughing.
Yeah.
I was like,
wow,
oh, this is such a good bit, and I did it every day for the whole year.
Yeah, and do you remember the feeling of the laugh?
Yeah, for sure. You feel
because
good.
This is why we are all do that all the time.
If you want to go, if you want to talk about my sister, was probably the first. My brother as well, but my sister would very. She's older. There's a bigger gap. Me and my brother were more like, we're buddies together.
Yeah.
And my sister was kind of old enough to be like, she was almost like a half parent figure to me.
Okay.
And I respect to this day, and I always did, like, I want her approval. And she thought I was funny.
Ah.
And she would encourage me.
Wow.
So, like, she would have her, you know, let's say I'm 8 years old, and she's like 17, whatever.
Yeah.
She's got her friends over, like a bunch of 17-year-old girls. I'm like an 8-year-old boy, all like. And she would call me down and like to the basement.
Do
like,
your such jokes.
Yeah, exactly. I would imitate. I would do impressions of movies and imitations. I don't remember any specific ones, but like something about some line about some toothbrush from some movie where a guy had he talked like this a little bit. He had one of these lists. So I would make fun of it when I was like 7, 8.
Wow.
And my sister thought it was hilarious. So she would call me like, come do the lisp. Voice
brought off my
yeah, and
then
I would
friend.
Be all shy, and I would run away, and everyone would laugh, and that.
Wow.
Like,
so
my first memories of.
And
like,
this is in you live in Montreal.
That's Montreal, yeah.
So you always pass your life here.
I was born in Lebanon, but I came here when I was like 1, 2.
So you don't remember.
I was born in 88. We came here in 89.
Okay.
Right.
Whoa.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't. It's more your sister and brother who saw the big transition.
Absolutely. My brother, like, for real, my brother was like 7 and like, yeah, he saw war and shit. Like, he was probably traumatic for him, I think it was, because he's like 7 years old, bombs are going off. Then
And you are right here and the bomb is only on television and it's fake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Well, yeah, exactly. I know nothing about it. I'm very Canadian.
Okay.
I'm very sheltered. My brother got a lot of that. My sister, completely. My sister was, you know, 10, 11 when we came, so she knows everything, and she lives there now, and she moved back. So,
oh yeah,
yeah.
Wow. So when did you start to what kind of guy you are at the high school? You know, you want to do improv theater. Are you trying to find who you are in life, or you just go to the flow at the time?
I was a bit more of a bro. Like, I played sports. You know,
okay, you're a sports
guy. Soccer
player. Okay.
I was a nerd and a soccer player. I wasn't like cool. I wasn't like the like cool guy at all, or like the. I went to 2 high schools too, so
okay.
I bet the majority of people from the high school I graduated.
Did you have problems
no
with adaptation with the bullying at the time?
Yeah, I was pretty shy. Like once I get to know people, even today, I'm like, I don't know how to. When I don't know somebody, I'm like, I don't.
You're
know
right.
How to talk
you're,
to them.
You're tough to approach.
I don't know because I'm.
And we work. I saw you often though.
Sure. Yeah.
But you're not open. Like every time I try to discuss with you.
Really?
Yeah. It's like you're gonna respond, but fuck off after. You know, like.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a bit of an asshole. Is what you're saying?
No. maybe. But me, I can see the difference. Gonna say why maybe, because. It's the first time I talked to you was behind a green room with a big show, so maybe I said you want to focus on this show, maybe he's shy, you know what I mean, maybe he's an asshole like you said, but it was a mix of that. I said maybe I'm gonna try next time, but every time, you know, it's always during a show,
right?
Like we did a show Wednesday.
Yeah.
When I arrived, you just say hello, you know. You said okay.
But the show was going on when you arrived, right?
No.
You came before?
Yeah. I'm a professional.
Okay. No, but you were headlining. You're coming late. I don't know.
No. I arrived on time. 30 minutes before the show.
Okay.
Remember? You don't remember? I was at the bar waiting.
Okay. I said hello, right?
Yeah, you say hello. You say hello. And after that, how you want to present? Are you all right? You know. And my point is, when you arrive tonight, today, you arrive with a different guy. Smiling, hey.
Oh,
you know?
Sure, I'm panicking at shows.
So I said, oh, I was right. It's not personal on me. It's the show. It's stress. You want to focus. The condition was not very good.
No. It's tough. Especially
you
shows
host,
like that.
You
shows
host,
like that where it's like a bunch of bikers and fucking everyone looking at you like, who the fuck are you? You know, you're like, Jesus Christ.
You know, so I did not take personally, you know.
Yeah.
Until, I know this is my proof. You're here.
I ignored my girlfriend, if that makes you feel better.
No, I mean, you understand what I mean? Like, sure. Gino Durant is the same. Gino Durant in life is amazing. But before a show, don't talk to him. He's focused.
No, for sure. I
know, you know. So I never took that personally.
I hope not. Yeah.
No. It's for real. But I was like to tell to myself, maybe he's an asshole, you know.
I mean, I'm a bit of a lot of assholes in different ways, yeah.
No, but we do. It's so tough, this job. Hmm. I don't understand why, you know, sometimes we have difficulty, you know, to do that together.
When you're working, sure, because when you're working, yeah, in general, when you're working with people, it's like you see them like 20 minutes before the show, maybe.
Yeah.
30 minutes before the show.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, leave right after it's done. So unless you kind of hang out after the show or have a beer with somebody,
exactly,
then it's hard to really, or you hang out at an open mic, because you and I have only worked together at like,
I have a great job,
you know,
it's about this.
Sure, but at like shows where it's like you get there, there's people ready to go, you gotta go, and then,
yeah, but at the same time, what is your perception about me? Every time I saw
you. I had the same perception as you. I thought you never wanted to talk to me either.
Really, man?
Yeah,
I was. You never said
you're very
job.
Friendly and yes. like hello, but yeah. then you're off.
Oh, because I have another show, but I encourage all the time. If I don't do the first step, I don't think you will do it. You know what I mean?
Okay, so I'm the same way. So we were at a crossroads. Or let's talk about
No, maybe it's because it's my personality. It's not your. You're not the guy who said, hey, great job.
I'm pretty reserved.
Exactly.
I don't really go out of my way.
I think you're
a
good guy in your reserve. So
I don't go out of my way to like.
But maybe because of your face, you know, because you're serious and you're.
I thought you were saying I'm just ugly, but
no. Maybe scary.
Okay. I don't know if that's an ethnic thing, but yeah. Sure,
No, I think it's the.
No, I know. I have resting hijack a plane face. Yeah, no, I get it. Regardless of ethnicity. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not. It's funny what you said, but it's always between shows. Like I said, when you arrive. Remember when you arrived?
Yeah, no, I'm.
You were like, hey, I said tabarnak. Yeah. Never saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
Never saw that. The real was seen.
You know what I mean? It's the afternoon. I'm hanging out. I don't really have to do
anything. Exactly my point. It was not an ethnic situation. It's no. It's more. It's more the professional you are, you know what I mean? Like before a show, between a show, after a show, you know, I can recognize like you're gonna go somewhere, because it's so easy to get lost in this business. You know, you kill, you start to drink at the beginning, and you realize the day after you're nobody. You have to restart, and I think you understand that. We're gonna go there later, but
sure.
So high school, you play soccer.
Yeah.
You're reserved. You're not very bullying, but you don't bullying other.
No.
So you're in.
I hope not. Maybe I'm remembering my life differently, and I'm a fucking prick.
So if you're shy,
I made fun of people in grade six, especially. Yeah. I feel like I was maybe the more of a class clown in elementary school.
Yeah.
I did make fun of a lot of people in my class, but we were friends.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't a bully, like, you nerd. I was my friend, he had bad breath, so I made fun of him a lot.
Yeah. Like, now me. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Two coffees, he's only 3 years soon.
I'm this distance, you're fine. I'm not smelling anything.
All right, great.
Yeah.
I want to keep you smiling. So, okay. But you're shy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always been.
You're not the clown in the class.
Like I have been in situations, but it takes a long time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so when did you start to be a clown or comfortable?
In 6th grade. So like elementary school, I'm with the same people for 6 years.
Okay.
I was shy. Didn't probably say anything. Maybe the 5th grade a little bit. Kind of one of the clowns, and then grade 6 I was like, I knew everyone, I was comfortable.
Yeah,
I've been there for 6 years. So that's when it came out.
But what's happened? Do you remember? What is the click?
I think just being comfortable around people. Okay. Like when I don't know people, I don't know how to act around them. Yes. To this day. Even when I meet a new comic in the green room, sometimes I panic. Because I don't want them to think I'm weird.
Yeah.
I don't want them to think I'm a dick. I don't want them to think...
And I never said a dick.
No,
you
sure. I said that.
You point me.
I said that. But
you point me then. I never thought you're
there. No, because you said maybe a little bit. But
at the end, no, man. Sure. Yeah, because you start with that. I said, because at first, it's not my first language. Si je parle en français,
yeah.
T'aurais compris. Là.
Okay.
You bring the dick. I never bring the dick. You know what I mean?
I always try to bring the dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean to point at you.
You point me like I pretend that you were a dick. I never pretend that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. Because, or I'm a dick. No, I won't do that anymore.
But
yeah,
it's every time. I always say that to my girlfriend. Mm. She's shy. But in her face, it's like she doesn't care. So I said, yeah. You know, sometimes people will not know you're shy.
Yeah.
They will think you're pretentious.
Yeah.
So can you, like, do something, you know?
Smile, honey. Come
on. It's true. Yeah, you have a beautiful smile, man.
Yeah.
It's not like if you're complex of your teeth. You know what I mean?
I got good
teeth. Show your beautiful
teeth.
Look at that.
I got good teeth. No braces. Beautiful. No braces.
Exactly, you know? So when you move to the high school, you restart at zero?
Yeah, exactly. No, super shy, very nerdy, grade 7. First year of high school, super nerdy. Like, just the homework and, like, you know, like, didn't talk to anybody.
Did you remember the time I said, fuck, I have to restart to be a...
Yeah, it sucked. And also, I hit puberty when I was, like, 6. I was fucking... I'm 5'10 today. I was 5'10 in grade 7.
No!
I swear to God, but lanky, skinny.
Oh, with the long arm?
Yeah, fucking...
Wow.
No arms, just, like, hunched over, like...
Hey, man!
Yeah.
My name is Wasim. You wanna play with me?
Fucking full mustache.
Really?
Yeah. Fucking thick-ass mustache and shit.
So you speak French and English, right? Do you speak Lebanon?
I'm spurred. Okay. Yeah.
Because you do a lot of imitation, you know, in your show.
Yeah,
you start to do that.
Sure, yeah,
you
I
know,
do
you
like
do a French Canadian.
I think I did more in the beginning, actually.
Okay.
But I still do some. Yeah.
Okay.
Like I like accents and I like.
Yeah.
Stuff.
No, you're right. It's fun. We're gonna sing later.
Yeah.
Necessita.
Yeah.
I have goosebumps, man. I love this joke.
Okay. I appreciate you complimenting me.
Remember when you were ice?
Was I?
Yeah.
Really?
You don't remember? I said, man, can I say something to you, man?
Because in my head, I was like, thank you so much.
Yeah,
what
but in
honor.
Your face, it was like,
really?
I don't care, I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to do some self-reflection.
No, think about that.
I will.
And
I feel like I come off not like that, but I guess I do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I said, oh, maybe he doesn't believe me because I'm 20.
No, but
you know?
I don't know.
Because nobody never maybe did that to you, you know? Be friendly about...
But what am I going to say? You know what? It is a great bit. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm hilarious.
No, man,
that's
weird.
Why? That's weird.
No.
You just say, thanks.
But this is the problem with us.
I'm trying to have fake
we
humility.
Can't take
compliments. Yeah.
But if I said, man, you know what? I don't know you well, but you suck. You should stop doing comedy. You're going to fight to prove I'm wrong. But if I said you're amazing, you're going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Why we do that? When the goal, it's some people love what we do.
Mm.
And a friend... A guy who worked with you said, hey, man, I'm jealous of your joke.
Mm.
The Bamba joke. The, wow. And like,
Come on. I didn't say,
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can imitate you, though, but my point is, like, I felt like, fuck, I didn't, because I want to go inside, not inside of you, but inside of, block the bubble, you know? I want to destroy it to have a,
sure.
to be friend, you know? And it, and I said, not, it's not going. It will not be there.
I felt like we connected that day. See, in my mind, I was like, oh, we had a conversation.
But
I said thank you.
Yeah, no, I know. But you said thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, but
it means a lot.
No,
I said. I feel like I said something.
Yeah,
like,
but you know what I mean.
I bowed.
I understand now because I remember, and it was not like a 5-second discussion. We talk a lot.
Yeah, we talked for like a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly my point.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just to...
I can't take compliments well. I think like a lot
you
of
like compliments. You like
compliments? Of course, I love compliments.
But
we all do.
Do you believe me when I say that to you?
Yeah,
you knew you hesitate.
So. Yeah, no, I believe you. I believe... It seemed sincere. I didn't think you were being insincere.
It would be weird.
Yeah.
It would be weird.
No, but sometimes you say things in passing. You know, sometimes people are like, you know, yeah, great set, I like that. And they're like, you weren't watching. You know what I mean? You can tell.
Yeah.
But because you analyzed the joke for me and you said like it felt sincere.
But no, exactly. But but you're shy.
No, for sure.
It's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I understand too that me too, and don't worry, if somebody do the same thing than me, I will react like you. I don't know why it's I'm not comfortable when it's I want that. I want this attention, you know what I mean? I do that for that. I want people to say I'm funny.
Yeah, of course.
So but absolutely. I react always weird, like what great show, it was all right. No, it was a great show, you know, fuck yes, you can thank you, man.
Yeah.
For real, tu comprends?
Yeah.
From thanks, man. It's why I do that.
Yeah, for sure.
So so you you restart at zero in your head. And so the second high school, because me it's secondaire.
Sec one, sec two. We say that.
It was a great time in your life.
No good time.
It
wasn't terrible. You know what I mean? I was fine. Like I was I played soccer. I went to like a sport études.
Yes.
I did that for 2 years, played soccer. That was cool. I was just with people who played soccer. That's all I cared about.
So this saved you. You know, time passed so fast when you have a hobby.
Yeah, no, it was great. Because like those years were easy. I didn't do shit.
Exactly, school. Exactly.
Because I did like a, like at my first high school, so secondaire, Cat Sank, I did the same school. Pierrefonds Comprehensive High School.
Okay, West Island.
West Island.
Wow, rich guy. You're not poor. No. Your family was not poor.
When we
You have a house?
No. West Island's a pretty cheap place to live, man.
Oh, yeah. Me, it was expensive.
Yeah, no, it's no. We never owned anything. Okay. I lived in a townhouse. My father passed away, so no. We were like when we came here. When you immigrate, you can't have nothing. You know what I mean? Which is funny. Like, oh, immigrants coming. It's like you have to have a certain amount of money to immigrate. So when we came, I think we were. Not rich, but we had enough money to immigrate to a country.
Yeah.
So we were okay.
Did you realize, oh my God, I'm poor?
Once my father passed away, I was living with my mom. We were pretty poor. Yeah, we were on like aid social or whatever it was.
Yeah. But did it affect you in your life?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, listen, like on a world scale, I'm rich for sure.
But like, Yeah.
Regardless of the city, but the thing is, yeah, you're right. In the West Island, there's a very rich.
It's rich guy. It's rich on the phone.
Generally, yeah. But the West Island's big, man. Not necessarily.
I know.
Pierrefonds, DDO. There's.
I remember.
There's plenty of.
I was not thinking about. It's like where's the, A&W, McDonald's. You have a big market center. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of that. I don't know which one you're talking about.
It's DDO, you told me. Pierrefonds. I live at Les Bizarres. Exactly.
Okay, Les Bizarres. Okay, so you're rich. That's good, yeah.
Yeah.
Now you are, yeah.
No, it's why I thought you know.
I didn't live in a big house.
You live in like a three bedroom?
No. Oh, when we moved here, we had a house. We didn't own a house, but we had a house.
Okay, you rent a house?
Yeah.
So it starts well.
We start well. Father passed away when I was like 9. So for me, most of my like early memories, like we were good. I never was wanting for anything.
Yeah.
Later on, it was a little bit more. We moved to a townhouse. It was me, my mom, and my bro.
Yeah.
And like it was tight. You know what I mean? Like we were pretty much living off handouts.
Yeah. But it's fun. You said that. You said when we arrived, we were rich.
Yeah.
Because you changed two different country and mentality. Yeah. You know. And when you start to realize where you are, you realize, oh, okay, here we are poor.
Yeah.
But you forgot you were rich because you arrived here.
I mean, I don't remember arriving here.
No, I know, but exactly. No, maybe your brother and your sister could approve what I said. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because me, my parent was poor.
Yeah.
But I never let that go in my life because it's they're poor.
Mm.
Not me.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I don't choose my parents. You know, I'm here.
Wow.
So I never let the kids, you know, bully me because they try. Your parents are poor. I said, I don't care, man. Right. But my sister have a lot of difficulty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because I always knew, like, yes, we are poor, but we're rich because I never miss food.
Yeah, exactly. I have a bed. That's the thing. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the real thing. You know.
Yeah, exactly. On a world scale, it's hard to say.
I never degraded my parents. I don't know or be shamed.
You were never ashamed of them.
Never.
Yeah, sure.
Never. You know, it's
at least not for being poor. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure.
So this affect you a lot.
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
Like,
but
yeah.
So
like,
what? So it's not in the.
It's something that sticks with me to this day a little bit, because it was like.
But this is good for you, so you realize the price. You know, the real money. You don't spend on shit for nothing.
I'm very, very frugal, I believe is the word. Cheap is the real, but yeah, no, I can.
You know the value of the money now.
Yeah, no, I don't spend.
This is why it's fun to sometimes to get bullying or live poor. You know.
Yeah, it is fun
because you appreciate.
In the retrospect, it is.
Yeah, it's
it made me be able to be. Like, you know, I do have a part-time job. I was just teaching. I teach part-time, but I could live off comedy because I spend so little and I do so little and I live very cheap.
Exactly. So, yeah. you take your time, you know, it's going to happen anyway, you know, the switch, but you're right. Like, you know exactly where you go, you know?
In terms of money?
And comedy, because you know, you can't, you don't see in the future, but you know where you are now. Mm-hmm. Did you know when you start comedy where you're going to go? Or you just, I'm going to try this?
I'm just going to try it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I never was like, this is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
That happened like maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, when you saw your potential.
Yeah, kind of. It sounds like arrogant. But there was just a couple times very soon in where I had like really strong. Even now, I'm like, do I even do that well now? Like, everything's hitting, you know, like a noisy bar, everyone's quiet. You're like, maybe I can. You know what I mean? Because when I started, I was like, I'll probably suck at this, but I've always wanted to do it and I love it.
I think you're
a huge fan of comedy.
Yeah,
so.
And your biggest force is we don't see in your face. You struggling on stage, or you don't have fun. This is one of the force I saw you with you're funny. So let's forget that, because when I compliment somebody, I don't need to compliment you. You're funny because you will not be there. You know what I mean? But the other quality you have, the force.
Sure.
Me, I panic if I saw people don't enjoy. You know, the silence.
I panic too, man.
Yeah, I know, but not in your face.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is one of a quality I would love to have. I'm working on.
I've never seen you panic. I don't know. But you have.
No. You saw me. No, mate. It's because I this is me all the time. You remember with the
I wanted to I really appreciated that the Art Garfunkel.
Oh yeah, man.
With the hair.
You know when you hala sawa yeah, nobody
do nothing.
And you continue.
Yeah.
And they start to go because if we saw you're scared because they don't go with you.
Sure.
You're screwed.
Yeah, it's over. Well, then the show is over.
I saw you in your face. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm the host.
Yeah.
You're going to follow me. And they did.
A little bit. It took them a while.
I know.
But
you could be destroyed, man.
Sure. That's time. I was destroyed maybe 4 years ago. But now it's like enough times where it's like, what am I going to do? Bomb? I've bombed a thousand times.
And I'm the host.
Sure, and I'm the as the host, I feel more pressure on.
I know, and it's my point.
Yeah.
You can't bomb. It's if you bomb, everybody is screwed.
Exactly,
man.
Like I'm ruining the show.
You're the captain of the ship, man.
Yeah, I have to.
That's why I said bravo, man, because the other did well before me. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
If you're honest.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need to say the name.
Yeah.
But remember.
Sure. I think they all had their moments, to be fair to them, but they didn't...
Listen, it's a professional night.
Yeah.
It's not an open mic.
Yeah.
You have to kill.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay?
Yeah, fair enough.
Then nobody kill. Every time... I told you that outside after the show. Like, bravo, man. Thank you so much to come back and restart the fire. Mm. And the guy arrived and... no fire. And you have to restart, you know? Because you did a lot of stuff. Normally, a house, you know, that, party, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Maybe a 3 minute, you present, you did like 10, 5,
yeah.
10, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you knew.
No, for sure, because
that the show never starts.
Yeah, and I had to do a fucking
and
raffle.
It's a motorcycle, it's a motor. It's not a tough night, look.
Yeah, no, it's, oh yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, it was like Italian bikers.
We have, right. We have to. Yeah. Yeah, they pay, look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They pay.
They looked like they were gonna shoot me after the show too. Even when a couple of them said good job, they were like, I was like, are you gonna fight me right now? They were like, very funny, my friend. Yes. I'm like, fuck.
So you understand the pressure, it was already
there. Yeah, it was
there.
Rough. It was rough.
When you arrive on stage, you know, you remember, it was cold.
Yes.
And you fight, you know?
Oh, it was a fight.
It's why
that
I respect you, man. You fight, and you did not choke. You choked maybe inside.
I choked inside.
But nobody knew that.
When I came off in the beginning, I was like, oh my God, that was horrible.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck.
And you still enjoy comedy, huh?
Yeah. Because the good is so good. And like, yes. It's... Like I think it's more good than it is bad.
Yeah.
Like at times there's a lot of bad. Like 40% bad, but 60%, and it's just enough.
Well, I mean, I was shitting in my pants, man. I don't want to do this show.
You destroyed
because
that was crazy.
Because I said you will not intimidate us.
Yeah. No,
because
no,
my time was done.
Yeah.
I did 20. I said, you know what? Let's go do another 20.
Yeah.
Ended 46 minutes, you know, so everybody forgot that the show was like okay.
Yeah, no, like they ended, they got a great show.
Exactly. I fight for everybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They are, you made that $20 very worth it.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, when did you realize I would like to do comedy? Because I don't feel like, did you went to the college?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to Dawson.
It's for your mother?
I mean, yeah, a little bit, yeah, yeah. I, you know, my mom was very, like, intense with education.
Yes. What she want to you became?
Honestly, she was never that, like, you need to do this. I'm lucky, especially with my culture, I'm very lucky. My mom is cool. My mom is cool with me doing comedy. She
always,
never
always?
Like,
she never said, what?
A little bit, but
did
not...
Did you quit college?
No,
you
finished. No, I started late, man. I studied sciences. She kind of wanted me to do something that's, you know, good, fucking, you know, a doctor or something like that.
Okay.
But it wasn't like, you must be a doctor. Okay. You know what I mean? It was like, yeah, do your thing.
So why you did, when you go to the college, did you know you want to be a comedian?
No.
Okay, so you...
I knew I was going to do it. I didn't ever think I was going to be a comedian. No, definitely not.
Okay.
I thought that was something that...
Impossible.
It's impossible.
And far.
That's so hard.
Yeah.
I would never be able to do it. But I'm like, I will definitely try it.
Okay.
I'll definitely go to an open mic. Because I used to go to the Comedy Works and watch a lot.
When during the college?
Yeah. When I was 18. As soon as I could go into a bar, I used to go to the Comedy Works all the time.
Wow.
I used to go see live shows. I used to see...
this is amazing. Think about
that. Yeah, because I loved it. Yeah.
This is why I do that. It was meant to be, man. You know what I mean? Everybody start... Like that, you know. I did that. I'm French comedian professional. When I switch, what do you think I did? I did that same thing than you.
Mm.
I did not transfer my show and go on stage. I respect so much the art form.
Yeah,
I went at the back and restart at zero. No matter the talent or the experience I got in French, I never said it's. You know what I mean? So I wait 1 year, take beer. Watch Mike Patterson, Massimo Iman at the time, 2012, you know? Like you. Maybe 2012, you know?
2012, I was living in Korea.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So 18 years old, pal at the works.
Yeah. Yeah, I used
to drink beer, watching.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Dreaming?
A little, like, yeah, I would go home and, yeah, I wanted to do it, of course.
You don't go there just to laugh. You go there, you study.
I did go just to laugh, but it was after coming back, I was like, man, this is so fun. I want to be a part of it. And I would always think of ideas. You know, sometimes I would...
This is amazing.
Yeah, I would think of... I had a notebook way before I even dreamed of doing an open mic and did it. Like, I probably did my first open mic 2013.
Okay, so I was there.
But this is in Korea.
Oh, yeah, okay. So 3 years in college on what?
I studied physiology. I got a bachelor in science physiology.
Oh, so
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I was fucking...
So this helped you in comedy, huh? No?
Maybe, I don't know, man.
Directly, you don't feel it? How to respond with the people?
It helped me, like, be focused on a thing.
Oh, it's more for you, help you.
Then I guess, like as a development of a person, because I was just like focused instead, and it helped me like, kind of, I like bullshitted my way through university. Like I didn't go to class. Like I didn't. I was very like last minute, and I was very like, I would just figure things. Like things would just happen. It helped me get into confidence to realize like I can kind of bullshit my way through life a little bit. You know what I mean? Like
I know
you don't have to sit there and know everything that's going on. Just like figure shit out on the go. So I take that philosophy to comedy. Like I don't.
Yeah.
I try to figure it out as I go along. Like I don't need to sit back, study for 10 years, then try it, or sit back, write a joke for an hour, edit, and then try it. Like sometimes I'll think of an idea and just try. You know, like
yeah.
I try to bullshit it my way through it on stage, and then hopefully make a real joke. Yeah.
And sometimes the punch arrive.
Yes. Because of that's my stress. Favorite thing.
Me too.
That's why I do. That's why I haven't quit. I think. Because the times where, like, you're working out a joke and you're like, I don't know where this is going. And then you say the punch on stage for the first time improvised. Oof. And it kills. You're like, oh, my God. I can do this. You know what I mean? That's when I was like, maybe I can. Because that would happen. That happened early on a few times. And I was like, maybe I can do this, you know?
Yeah. So after 3 years, everybody is proud of you. What did you do? What year is it this?
2011. 2010. I graduated university.
Okay. So what did you do after that?
I worked in a lab, a science lab, for a little bit. I did a bunch of odd jobs, bike courier. I fucking was a salesman. I did everything.
But no comedy either. Just watch.
Not at all. I was watching. Still watching.
So how did you get the gig to go to Korea?
I was fed up of living here. I was like, I want to fuck off. I want to, because I was like, I didn't want to go back to school. I didn't want to do a master's. I didn't want to go into medical school. I didn't want to do anything. I was sick of school. My whole life was school. CJEP 2 years, and I was working. You know what I mean? Again, like we didn't like at the time. Since age 16, that's when we moved to NDG. I was living in like a 3.5 apartment with my mom, me and my mom, working almost full time, going to school almost full time from age 16 till 23. So I was like, fuck school. I had no, that's all I did. I'd finish work, smoke a joint, hang out with friends, go to bed, work school. And I was like, this can't be my life.
A day you said, enough is enough.
Look. I was like, fuck this. Montreal's so small. Like, I want to get out of here. Yeah. I want to travel.
Yeah.
But I can't just travel. I'm not like some, you know, trust fund kid who's like, okay, go to Europe, find yourself with your backpack. Here's 10,000, like, no. So it was like, I gotta work.
Okay.
So I researched, where can I go? I was like, Korea, I had Korean friends in university, it's a cool place to be, like, culturally, like, I like the food, and I like the culture, and it's very different from my own, and I could live there and work easily. No experience, you can go teach English. Tomorrow I could fuck off and go and get a good job.
Easy. Really?
Easy.
So you Google South Korea?
Yeah, whoa! Pretty much. Oh, man.
Thank you so much.
Get you some shit.
Thank you. Look at that. What did you order? Huh?
I don't know.
Merci. I make some nice body for the Peroni.
Thank you. Yes.
That's great service. Peroni, man. Huh? Do you like Peroni?
I do. Quite a story that, anyway.
You have a lot of story? What do you mean?
I was here last night.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk about that because everybody said...
it was wild.
So
I got like 10 messages I haven't responded to.
So thank you, Peroni, because of you, I have the chance to do my podcast here. I'm grateful. You, this is great. We have the chance to talk and understand each other. Yeah. You know? We don't need to hear the client yell. So I don't need to do...
Right. Yeah.
And Tony, I love you. Ali and Sid...
Yeah,
Peroni, you do that? You play here?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's one of my favorite places in Montreal to do comedy.
I highly enjoy it as well. Yeah.
It's like a small comedy club, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
So let's talk about that later. Your show of yesterday. So
sure.
So
good froth on this. Yeah.
So you have it's 2012. You said you go to South Korea.
Yeah, I'll speed up a little bit. Sorry, I'm giving my life story here. Go to South Korea, 2011. Go to teach.
Okay, but how did you get that job?
I fucking went online, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you scared to go there?
Nah. I was ready to get the fuck out of Montreal. I was sick of Montreal.
So you are a little bit naive because maybe it's a scam. It's just, you don't know.
No, I did a lot of research.
Okay, it's my point.
I did a lot of research and I met several people who had done exactly what I did.
Okay.
And they gave me the confidence of like, yeah, go.
Okay.
Make sure certain things, you know, to make sure it's not, there are scams. But he's like, just make sure you get to talk to a teacher who is, you know, American, Canadian, like, you know, who's not gonna affiliated with the school, who you can speak to like on Skype or whatever, and that can vouch for the school and make sure it isn't a scam. That you're not gonna show up and work, you know, 70 hours and get never get paid or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So the pay was good?
Yeah, they fly you over. They pay for your apartment.
How long it is?
Fucking forever. It's fucking the worst.
10, 15?
It's like, it's the whole trip is almost 24 hours.
Oh.
Yeah, 16-hour flight. I would usually go something like variation of Montreal to New York.
Okay.
New York to Tokyo.
Okay.
Which is about a 16-hour flight, 14 to 16, depending.
Okay.
And then I would have to fly from Tokyo to Seoul, which is short, but...
So did you realize you have the sick... what do you say that? The mal du pays, the sick, homesick?
Homesickness?
Yeah? No? So you're strong?
Yeah, sure.
Because you smoke weed a lot at the time?
Yeah.
So it's you did not paranoia in the trip, during the trip?
Oh, I had to quit smoking before going, because they test you.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you arrive there.
Yeah.
The people treat you like a king?
Yeah, more or less, yeah. You get treated super well, honestly. Okay. You really, and you're a teacher, and you're like a native speaker, foreign teacher, so you are
Do you feel like you're not, outsider, like you...
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because...
It's that dichotomy in Korea, it's very interesting. It's like on the one hand, they respect you so much, they like you. But on the other hand, you are not one of us. Because it's a very homogenous society.
Wow.
And it's not super multicultural. It's changing a little bit. Yeah. Seoul is. Yeah. But for the most part, yeah. It's like... And it's a very... really cool concept. Like, really, really cool. There's things I really admire. And there's things that I didn't like as much.
So you stay... How long you stay there?
4 years.
Wow.
Almost four. Just
you,
under four.
Full time? Or you came back for Christmas?
I came back... I came back twice.
Because it's a big project to come back.
Yeah.
I love you, mother. I miss you. But it's a 40-hour.
Yeah.
It's 48-hour, though. You have to go come back.
I did it twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it... Did you like it?
Coming back?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great because I was on vacation. Because you work hard there too, you know what I mean? So like Koreans work hard, so that's... And as a foreigner, you're not expected...
Oh, you came back for the summer because you're a teacher?
No, I didn't teach in a school. It's like, I taught in a private, like, it's called a hagwon. So Koreans study like crazy. So after school, students from age, you know, from elementary all the way to end of high school, when they're done school, they're not done school. They go to extra school.
And you're the extra guy.
I'm the extra school.
Wow.
The extra English. So I worked from like 3 to 10, 3 to 9 p.m. Those were my hours.
So, but you don't have anything because you never did that.
No,
so
no.
You have to pretend you're...
I had to pretend I was a teacher. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Wow.
My first day, my boss didn't speak English. The first thing she ever said to me, I get off the bus from the airport. She's picking me up. It's her. No English. Zero, zero, zero. Hello, maybe hello. Her son spoke maybe 20% English. She was to greet me and show me to my apartment. I actually stayed with her, but anyway. She get off and she goes, something. And I go, oh yes, thank you. I go to the son, what did he say? And she goes, she is happy your face is not black. I was like, oh geez, that was the first thing she said. Because I guess in my picture, I was very... Because I tan a lot in
my
summer. My skin changes a lot. In winter, I'm very pale. In summer, I'm very dark. So she was happy that I was... Because I came in December. She was happy that my skin was not dark, basically. Anyway, that's a whole other story.
No, it's amazing.
You're treated well, but you're also like...
But she's honest.
Yeah, they're
normally
honest.
Normally, you don't say that. You said just...
Oh, no. I was in shape when I went, but I gained weight later. Oh, hello, nice to meet you. Oh, very fat. Like, just like that. You're very fat. Like, just... It's not rude. It's not an insult. It's like, huh.
They don't have the filter.
No, it's like...
hypocrisy.
That's like, oh, it's an observation.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, oh, you're wearing an Expos hat. Oh, you're very fat. You know what I mean? Like, it's just very matter of fact.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay,
flash forward.
How did you respond at the time? Like, did you say, oh, well, my God, start well?
I called my friends and I was like, this is hilarious. You gotta hear this. It's crazy. Because there's all, I don't feel like talking about the subtleties of Korean, you know, race. There's racism in every country. But
exactly.
Like, there's a weird thing in Korea where it's like, foreigners are kind of outsiders and are not as, you know, accepted as Koreans. But like, white Europeans and white Americans are here, and then like, and then there's like a clear pyramid, you know?
Wow.
Like South Asia, like if you're slightly dark like me, like for me, like they don't know like, oh, you're Arab. Like they're like, oh, you're a white guy, but you're kind of dark, you know, I guess. Like they don't really know what I am, but they're like, we don't like that you're dark a little bit.
Okay, wow.
So I'm there.
Okay.
And then it's like a hierarchy. If you're Southeast Asian, you're not treated very well. If you're black, even if you're American, it's like, cool, you're American, but it's like, they don't treat you as well as someone
who's
like...
So it's like when you go at Chirono, you want paint,
exactly.
You have the degree of the color.
Exactly, and there's
wow.
a high... It's wild. It's wild.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
that's subtle, though. It's not like...
Yeah.
It's wild. Because like, I know my friends who I met there, who are black Americans or black South Africans, definitely had a harder time than me. And I had a slightly harder time than people who are like a white blonde.
Man, and it's weird you told me that, because white Korean don't like black people.
It's not like they don't like them. It's not like you won't have an okay time if you're there, if you're black. It's like you'll have a hard... And I can't speak because I had my experience, which I'm...
Yeah.
It's more from my friends who are telling me, and I saw certain things where it's like... It's not that they don't like them, but it's like within the whole hierarchy of... This exists in the Middle East. This exists in India, Asia. Darker skin has always been a... like you're a worker, you're like a, you know what I mean, you're outside in the sun, not like of the upper class.
Wow.
In so many different cultures.
Yeah.
But like,
so you learn a lot, that right? This
I knew that existed because of the Middle East.
Yes.
And I know
4 years
Asia,
there though,
yeah.
You came another, you're another guy, eh? You're not,
I
the guy who arrived
Korean.
There.
Yeah. Oh no.
The guy who came back after 4 years.
I think I'm still a child a little bit. I'm not a man yet. Almost.
I know, but you learn a lot.
But I became like a child to like a boy. I became a boy in Korea.
Yeah.
Like I became a different person too.
Because
I look like a different person. You wouldn't recognize me. 2011.
I know. I'm sure.
You would have no idea who that guy is.
I'm
if
sure
I showed
because,
you a picture
for a guy who smoked weed, you know, chill. You know, to a guy who take responsibility, go somewhere. Far from you are no parents, no friend, no weed, no.
Didn't know anybody.
And now you have a responsibility to learn to the kids English.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now it's another culture. It's not the Cincinnati that you went to.
No, it's the other side of the world. It's totally different.
So, and you never had the homesick, you said? A little bit?
Nah. Towards the end.
Okay.
There was small
because you're tired.
Like halfway through, I was like, man, I really want to smoke weed because that over there. But that's another story. But I miss my brother. I miss my mom and my sister and stuff. But like
the Montreal Canadian.
I'm not a hockey fan. No,
you know what I mean.
I miss the city.
Yes.
Like I remember meeting like une Québécoise, like une vraie Québécoise là-bas, like who like barely spoke. She was just like traveling. Just like I met her in a bar, like just for 20 minutes, and you know, like I mean, I'm an Anglophone. I generally speak English with my friends here, but my Francophone friends, I speak English just because my English is worse than their, you know what I mean? Like my French isn't.
Yeah.
Ça part, je suis pas français, mais c'est comme. Je
speak well in French.
No.
Yeah.
Je vois vraiment, j'ai de la difficulté de m'exprimer proprement.
It's normal because now we speak English.
Je cherche mes mots.
Trust me, you speak well. You speak better than me, by the way. You have a beautiful voice. It's a mix of French Canadian. From France, you know, tu parles bien, you know.
Well, because it's like from school. I never I didn't grow up in.
You don't parle en joie like me, you know.
No, because
on va-tu déjeuner?
No.
On va déjeuner?
Yeah.
Non, tu comprends? Dis donc, on va-tu déjeuner? Vas-y donc.
Excuse-moi. On va déjeuner. On va-tu déjeuner?
Voilà. You know, you know, trust me. Stop saying that, by the way, okay? You speak well. Don't say you don't speak well. No, I'm tired, man, because you're amazing, okay?
Keep going.
Is it possible to say that?
Keep going.
And I'm going to prove later, by the way, where you are now. You deserve where you are now, and it's nothing. It's nothing by where you're going to go after that. You know what I mean? This is the step. But listen, this is the cherry of the cake. Let's go here. Shitty show yesterday.
Yeah.
Superstar right now. So this is on the side, you know? Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. Just for laugh, Sugar Sammy. Mm. There, you know? Ethnic show, talk, you know? So, but now, we are in Korea.
Yeah.
4 years.
Yeah.
You did your first show there. Where? How?
There's a small scene that at the time was really, I don't know how it exists. I think it's still going on for sure. I don't know how big it is now, but it was like, there was like open mics here and there at four. So Seoul is huge. You have to understand. I lived south of Seoul. I lived in like the Brassard of Seoul. You know what I mean? Something like that. Or maybe even like the fucking Hemmingford or whatever.
So you have to take the train?
I take a bus or metro to get to Seoul. It takes an hour.
How long did you have the... How long did you take to be comfortable to take all that? It's only in Korea. Though. It's complicated to go somewhere when you just seen...
There are signs in English.
Okay.
Not always, but Seoul especially, there's signs in English. Okay. It's a very international city.
So it's you are pumped, man.
Yeah, I was ready.
Life was amazing for you. You all opened. If you arrive like, oh, that is slow.
I was bored here. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't want to go to school. I was sick of working these stupid jobs.
Yeah.
What the fuck was I doing?
Yeah.
I didn't know what I wanted.
You're ready for a journey in your life.
Something was missing. Yeah, I wanted to do crazy shit. Go to the other side of the world. Fucking,
So the first open mic, is it the first year, the second year?
No, so I arrived 2011. I think my first open mic was 2013, early or late 2012.
Okay, so maybe minimum 1 year there.
Minimum 1 year.
So you're comfortable. Yeah. Life start to move less than fast than before.
Exactly.
Because you know the value, the community, how to respond there. You
starting
know
to make friends, you know, American friends, British friends, a couple Korean friends there.
And is it somebody who said you're funny, you should do open mic, or it's yourself said, you know what, let's go.
It was actually mutual. So I met a really good... So first year I didn't... you know, there's a lot of foreigners. There's a lot of other English teachers. Tons, souls, huge. So I met a bunch, but I never really had good friends. I never clicked with anybody. You know, it's tough to meet people. I met a couple of cool people over that first summer I was there. And then I met a guy who I'm still friends with, lives in Montreal. He's my roommate, Jonathan Borello, comic. Jonathan Borello.
Shout out, buddy.
Yeah, Jonathan Borello, who's a super funny comic here in Montreal.
Okay. He's still here?
He's here, but he's very back and forth. But he lives here now. Okay. He lives here. He's a cartoonist. He's the guy who drew the poster for the Ethnic Show. He's drawing stuff for
Beautiful, yeah.
He drew a thing for Joey Elias for his like CBC thing. Okay. He's an artist.
Okay.
Big Insane Happy. He's got a great website. Shout out.
Shout out.
Yeah. He has a great comic called Barb now. He had a great comic called Blinky and Sal. Cartoonist. Very funny guy. He's probably one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Okay.
We clicked right away. And we made each other laugh so much. He was the first person in Korea I met who I was like, okay, this guy is like... not only cooler than the people I've met, he's cooler than any of the friends I even had in Montreal. Because I had like, good friends growing up, but I never really, even in Montreal, never had people I clicked with.
A complicity.
I have like a handful of people that I'm like, I really feel like I could connect to.
Yeah.
But I never had like a good friend who like, I really understood my sense of humor even.
Do you think it's because you're in danger, because you're in Korea?
It could be part of that.
Open your you know?
Absolutely. Okay. It's part of it. But like, we made each other laugh. We both at the same time realized that there was this open mic scene. Another friend we had met was like, hey, I'm hosting an open mic at this foreigner bar.
It's so exotic, yeah?
It's wild. So again, there's certain bars in Seoul you go, it's just all Americans, Australians, Brits. There's Koreans, but they're Koreans. All English speakers this bar.
Yeah.
The guy behind the bar is some American guy with 5 words of Korean. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How many words you have at the time?
At that time?
You said the bartender had 4, you have...
I had maybe 12.
12? Okay.
No, I was okay. I tried. Okay. No, the bartender was probably better than me. But I mean, I'm kidding. No.
Okay, so you're there.
I was there. So we met, and I actually said to him, I was like, you're fucking really funny. Like, you should do this. And he was kind of like, oh, you should do it too. Like, we make each other laugh so much. Like, we always did
the same day.
Like, we both said, like, you should do stand-up. Oh, you should do stand-up. We kind of said it to each other.
And you go right away?
Like a month or two later, we realized, like we didn't have a plan.
No.
Somebody threw up on Facebook, a buddy of mine, Dan Weiberg, still lives in Korea, very funny guy too. He threw up a thing, hosting an open mic comedy at this bar, Pub 210 in Bundang, South Korea. That was my first set. So I was like, fuck, let's do it, let's sign up. And I was more to John, I was like, you should do it, because I'm like, you're funny. I'm like... I do what I can, but like I told him you should do it, and it was more like I kind of signed up, kind of like almost in secret, like I'm gonna do it too, though, you know. So we show up that night. I prepared so much, man. I had a bunch of ideas that I had written over the year.
About the career or about your life in Montreal?
In the past, I had other bits I'd written after the comedy works. Okay. I'd go home and go.
Okay.
I still remember some of the ideas.
So how you feel this night? Remember your feelings? Nervous?
So scared.
Did you drink?
Yes. A little bit. But
remember,
I wasn't drunk.
Remember what you drank?
Beer. Shitty beer.
Okay.
I wasn't drunk.
So how many comics in the show?
Probably like 7, 8, 9.
And where you are in the lineup?
Fuck, somewhere in the middle.
Hey, it's very 9 comic in Korea.
Yeah.
It's
oh yeah.
I'm surprising, you know?
Yeah.
So you're in the middle, you're in a good spot.
Yeah.
Your friend, where is your friend?
Fuck, I honestly don't remember. I wasn't first. So, I wasn't last.
So it's intense.
Yeah.
For you.
I was scared.
If you don't remember,
I rehearsed word for word what I was gonna say.
Okay.
I was supposed to do 5 minutes. But I was so scared that it would go by so fast because no one would laugh. So I prepared 9 minutes.
Okay. So what's happened?
I did 11 minutes or something stupid. Not 10 minutes. I did 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Good?
So at the time, here's the thing. I think I still have the video. I haven't watched it in a while. I think I have the video somewhere.
Wow. Somebody records you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I recorded myself to see.
Okay. You recorded.
Okay. So at the time, I thought I killed. I think I did okay. I think I did well. I think what happened was I did well.
Okay.
Relative to
how many
the
people
night.
In the crowd?
Probably 20.
Okay, 20 front row or 20 like that.
Pretty good concentration, and I knew half of them.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to do well.
Exactly.
And the first four before you, they kill or they bomb. You remember?
Pretty tepid,
okay.
I think.
So when you arrive on stage, did you say, let's do it, or you choke?
I was pretty I was nervous, but okay. I was confident.
Okay.
Like, when I saw the first few people, I was low-key. I never said this to anybody.
You take the mic, or you stay the mic on
I fucking stood like this.
No.
Stood like this. Stood like this.
No.
I didn't even move the mic. I think I was like...
it's like you do a show in the water. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Wow.
I think my neck was like
that. You did not. Okay, so
I didn't touch
11 minutes like
I think
that.
I touched it like this, like gently. I thought it was going to explode.
Wow.
Or I was scared.
Wow.
So scared. I think my first, I don't remember when I phrased it, but it was something along the lines of like, I might pee my pants, or like, I was like very scared. And I was like,
when did you know you start to be comfortable, or you never went comfortable during the 11
during
minutes?
During the set? When I got a few laughs, I loosened up.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Again, I knew half the people.
Yeah.
So going back now, it's like, yeah, of course you did well. Because, like, your friends were there to support you, you know?
Are you grateful about this guy?
Yeah.
The Wasim at the time? Who did that for you? Who made who you are now? Do you realize that? You can see the metaphor?
Yeah, sometimes yes. And when it's going bad, I say, go fuck yourself. What are you doing?
Because the first show is the reason why you're here.
Oh, for sure.
You know
if that didn't go... Again, it probably sucked. But if it didn't go well in my mind,
yeah.
I would have never done it again.
I mean, my point is more than the guts you get to go on stage. After that, you bomb or you kill, it's not important for me. Me, I don't think the result is the reason why you're here. I think the reason why you're here, this is only my opinion about who I am, it's the guts you get to go on stage. Because the tough part, it's not to be on stage, it's to go. It's all the preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? Because every time you're better than 6 years ago.
I hope so.
Eh? But what is still tough, still now?
What's still tough?
Yeah, it's to go on stage.
Sure.
It's the stress.
Yeah, sure.
Not when you're on stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I'm never nervous on stage.
No. You're there.
Even if I'm bombing.
Exactly.
I mean a little bit if I'm bombing, but if I'm bombing bad, I get nervous.
No.
But like,
the
it's
are you ready for the next act?
Yeah.
Fuck, it's me.
Yeah.
This,
yeah.
For me, no matter if you bomb or you kill.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
It's the, let's go. So,
and that's one of the reasons I didn't quit too. That's one of the reasons I kept going is when I was on stage, maybe not the first time, but when I was on stage after that, I was never uncomfortable.
Okay.
I was like, I felt at home.
I want to see, so you went off stage?
After I finished?
Yeah, what's happened? How did you feel?
I felt great. I thought I killed. In my mind, I did well. Because like relative, I think I did have maybe the strong... Me and my friend, I think we had by far the two strongest sets.
But did you said, all right, it's for me?
Yeah, I felt great. You know what I mean? I felt great.
Because now you touch something.
Yeah.
Everybody pretend they know what is comedy until they go on stage and something happened in your head.
Yeah.
Like, you no go back.
Yeah.
Because it's not just to do a show, though. You get off of the stage, all your life is, en remise en question.
Yeah, it's put into question. Yeah, yeah.
For sure, right? Yeah. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now, something happened.
Sure. I think it was gradual, but it did definitely right after that. Like, looking back again, it was garbage. And
it was gradual because you're in Korea, but...
Yeah.
When is your next show after?
Months later. Months later.
Bar?
No, it was in a basement. In a coffee... Some bar in Seoul in a basement, yeah. Less people.
There.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think actually my fifth time on stage was in Montreal. When I was on big vacation. I came back here in March of 2013.
You did five shows here?
No, I did one mic. I think I did the works. Open mic.
Okay, so you have five shows in Korea before?
I had done five sets. Okay. Maybe two. Maybe not even.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't remember exactly.
Okay. So you did the works.
Yeah, it was either my third, fourth, or fifth set.
So the works for you was more a check mark than in Korea?
Yeah, because I was real. Korea is
friends are there. Formal, you know, formality. Now it's Montreal. Yeah. Comedy works.
Yeah.
You know the suffering.
I've been there. Sweat, I've seen people bomb. Exactly. I've seen people kill there.
So are you so more nervous there than your first show in Korea?
No, because I got it out of the way. No. And also, I thought I was... Do you know about the Dunning-Kruger effect?
De quoi?
It's okay. So forget the name. When you start something, this is measurable in a lab. This works for any skill. When you start, so let's go to her ear here. If you have a graph, your confidence is here and your time. As time goes on, when you start something, your confidence is up here. You think you're great. As you learn more and more, your confidence goes down, right? Or I think it shoots up in the beginning because you think you're great, and then your confidence goes down as you go on.
Yeah.
I'm more confident then than I am now in comedy. Because now you know.
It's so funny you say that, because when I start, I was so confident.
Yeah.
And I have no material.
Yeah.
Now,
it's a blind
confidence. 2 hours, I'm proud to show you right away like that.
Yeah.
And I'm less confident than never.
Because you know all the little subtle factors. You know more.
The blessures, you know? The pain during who I am now.
It's a battle. A battle.
So it's why you never saw me not comfortable on stage, because I have weapons. You know what I mean? But I'm fragile too. Mm-hmm. Because when I saw the guy at the front row who doesn't care about me, remember?
Yeah. Oh, I saw that too. See, that's the difference in experience between you and I. I was like, I talked to him too, but my thing was pointing out, you've hated me this whole time. I get it. Mine was more I'm not for you. I was pointing it out.
Yeah.
To me, that's kind of funny, because I'm like, okay, hate it.
Yeah.
But yours is like, no, fucking.
You're gonna love me.
Sort ton bananes.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes. But this is.
That's what I like. I love when you did that.
It's my sufferance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's. But maybe because you host. If you were the headliner, maybe you will continue to. Maybe I don't know. You.
I'm not there yet.
No, okay.
I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But I would have been different for sure.
Because
especially as a host, I don't want to lose the art. I've done that before.
Yeah.
And I've done it in big shows where I'm hosting and I'm too mean to a heckler or something, and I actually lose them.
It's dangerous.
They're like, whoa, why are you such an asshole? Yeah. You were this, and it's not really my personality on stage.
Me too.
Yeah.
But the guy was weird.
Yeah.
And I remember, I said, okay, calm down then, because you don't want to lose the rest.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because I'm fat and, that I could.
Friendly. Were going hard on him, but it was friendly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, you were killing so hard that the rest of the room was loving you.
Yes.
So they were like, yeah, why aren't you laughing, fucker? You know?
Exactly, yeah.
So you had them already. That's the thing.
Exactly.
If you don't have them, it's weird. They're like, we don't trust you. Why should he like you? We don't like you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So look how I feel now. I'm so painful, this job, man. grateful to be a comedian,
yeah,
but the reward, I don't think the reward deserve, maybe deserve it, because at the same time, I will not do any kind of job anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. If I said, if I stop comedy, what I could do? I said, nothing, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Nothing's gonna give me this drive in life. This
I think
adrenaline.
Sure.
Oh, I, oh, if I'm a coach of bungee, maybe, but
sure.
I don't want to do that, you know?
Sure, sure.
Okay, so came back to Montreal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember
in
the
2015.
Decision, do you remember the decision why you decided to quit the job there?
There was a lot of factors that I won't necessarily get into, but there was a big factor of...
I killed two guys. Do you remember the girl who said you're black? She's dead. Okay, so you go back here.
A big factor was wanting to do comedy, seriously.
Yes.
So I did it for 2 years in Korea. There is a decent scene. We there was an organization called Stand Up Seoul, which I was a part of. Brian Aylward, who was a Yucks comic for a while, Canadian guy from Newfoundland, very, okay, very solid comic. He kind of started the scene way back before I came. Two guys, this guy named Jeff Sinclair, a guy named Rudy Tiberzi, they took it over. They were kind of like my comedy parents when I started.
Okay.
They encouraged me, helped me, you know what I mean? Because, so there was the open mics, and they had a show. It was like a comedy club. Stand Up Seoul was once a month, whatever, first Friday of the month.
Where?
At a bar called Rocky Mountain Tavern in Seoul. Fort Canadian bar.
Oh, okay.
You can get Canadian beer.
Wow. Montreal Canadian game?
Yeah, yeah, hockey games, wow, absolutely. You go there, Canadian owners, you go there, everyone's like, oh, fuck, bud, you want a moose head there, buddy? You know what I mean? Real Canadian bar, brick wall, low ceilings, felt like a comedy club.
Wow.
And when they set it up for a show, it was a show. It felt like it was the works. Brick wall back, nice little stage, tables put forward, everyone's listening, it's nice and tight. Back then, you could smoke in the bar, I was smoking cigarettes, you know? That's where I started, and that was a show. People paid equivalent of $5. Yeah. No one got paid. That money was used to bring in big comics. So they really encouraged, like, the first couple times me and my friend John did it, we did pretty well. So they encouraged, like, they were helpful in, and then finally when the bombs, then the second time I did it, I bombed horribly. But, like, anyway, that was like a show. It felt like a comedy club,
yes.
Friday night, packed every time, okay, you know, once a month, everyone would go. My point is, they would use that money to bring in big comics. So 8 months in, do you know who Kyle Kinane is? Kyle Kinane, big American comic.
No.
Really good comic. Super well respected, super funny. I got to open for him when I was like 8 months in, because the scene is so small.
Yeah.
So he came through, yeah, and they need someone to open for him. There's like 10 guys.
Yeah.
I got the opportunity to open for him. I got to work with, not really open for, but work, do on a show with Glenn Wool, who's a really good Canadian comic, lives in the UK. So I got to see, I thought I was great. That was really helpful too, because I thought I was good.
You need to be naive,
yeah,
when you start coming.
Because I would have quit. If I knew what I know now, I would have quit immediately.
If you are now, you will.
I would have quit immediately.
Me too. No,
I would have done one set, been like, haha, never done it again.
Yeah. So because you're so intense, it's so intense, and you need more. 1 month is not enough for you.
No.
So it's my point when I said something arrived in your head,
sure,
but not immediately. So it was more like, okay, it's for me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done with that. Okay, I think I can do that.
Yeah.
So you go back to Montreal.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, 2015, I moved back.
Wow, 2015.
Yeah.
So it's 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That
was the first time I met you. I don't know if you remember.
Yucks.
I was probably nobody. You probably don't remember at all.
On Park?
On Mackay.
On Mackay, yes. On Mackay, yes.
I used to go to that open mic.
Yes.
I used to go.
Yes.
You would always go first,
yes,
I remember.
I always bomb.
I don't remember that. I would go 28th. I would stay there for 3 hours. I would stay writing. Sometimes I would go outside. I was smoking weed at the time.
So how I was with you at the time, remember?
I don't think we ever really talked. I was very intimidated by anyone.
Okay.
I saw you as a professional.
Okay.
Mike Ward would pop in too.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm scared.
Yeah.
So I was too scared to talk to you.
It's sad. It's weird, because me and Mike Ward,
they're both super nice guys.
Exactly,
yeah.
And friendly.
Yeah,
help each other.
Oh, for sure.
That's my philosophy, you know.
I was so scared, because I did a show with Mike Ward like a year ago, and I was like,
I did
scared
a cooperate with you, Franco Tadeo.
Yeah.
I remember, like 2 years ago, and at the same time, I tried to, you know you more, and it
especially 2 years ago, doing like a
no, it's my
show with Franco, I would have been pissing my pants.
Exactly. Before. It's why me, yeah. And you've, me, it was like more, you feel like confident, like sure. It was me, John Segadal, and Franco Taddeo.
Really?
February 2016,
2017. Okay.
And I said, you know what, maybe next time we're going to figure it out together, right. You know, but...
Yeah, it must have been 17.
No, I know.
2016, I was an open micro.
Okay, so 17, yeah.
I was not doing any
paperwork. So, Bobby, you know how you grew fast? 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
Not full time?
No.
I 2015, took, you, yeah. How many shows you did the year you came back?
I was trying to get up as much as I can. I was like the Grumpies, the McLeanses, the Yucks. Works when I could, Nest when I could. I was probably going up 2-3 times a week for that year. Took a little time off.
Yeah. Once again, Bobby.
It's a Paul. Paul Beasy in the house.
Yeah, Paul is in the house.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you... So what was your goal to it? Can you go outside, please?
I was like, I feel weird.
Yeah, you're right.
I love you, Paul.
I love you more. So what did you... How many shows you did? Did you have a goal like 2015? I want to do.
Actually, yeah. Well, very quickly, I came back, did a bunch. Yuck Yucks had like a competition, which I won my first month.
The Boom.
The Boom. Yeah, I won the Boom in like May of 2015.
Okay.
Right when I came back, like fresh off of Korea, but and I felt kind of good. But it's tough to break into a scene. It's tough to make friends. And again, I'm very shy. So I felt a bit alienated. I felt like nobody wanted to talk to me. I couldn't make any friends. I felt like even the works, Comedy Works had a weekly competition, their open mic, which I won the first two times I went. I think I won with like bringing nobody, you know what I mean? And nobody would talk to me. Nobody would consider me a comedian. So I took it so personally, and I actually quit for like 3 months.
No.
Completely quit. I said, fuck this. I was working a day job. I was working at
It's rude, eh? It's why I said,
well,
it's raw. It's why every time I saw somebody, I say, let's go, buddy.
Sure.
Because me, I never get encouraged.
Sure.
Everybody, nobody cared when I was young. Nobody encouraged me. Nobody said, you don't give up, you know. So me, I do the reverse all the time. And sometimes people say, why you said great job, I bombed. I said, because you try. You deserve the respect. You know what I mean?
Sure.
No matter.
No, I respect
if
everybody.
If you bomb or you kill
there.
At
I
the
do,
Grand Prix,
I do, I do.
Nobody care.
I
you have the guts to go there and try. You know. So so when did you realize?
Late 2015, came back. I was like, fuck this. Like, what? I was being a baby. I was like, quit because like you don't have friends. Like, stop being a loser. Because I was so sad that I wasn't doing comedy. Because I was like, I need to be doing that. I was doing a 9-to-5, and I was just like, ah, this sucks. You know. So I started going. Actually, my first corporate kind of gig was with you. You were headlining.
Yeah.
It was Ali Mohammadi.
Okay.
Booked it.
Oh.
Late 2015.
Where? Remember?
At Shriners on Des Sources.
Oui, okay. I remember.
Dan Maxer was hosting.
Oui.
It was. I did like a 6-minute open.
Tony Riccio was there too.
Tony Riccio
and
was
Gino
there.
Gino Durante.
And
know.
Gino.
Yeah.
It was Gino and then you.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that was the first like paid kind of like outside gig I got, actually. Crazy. That's funny. I never really thought of that. One of the first, at least. Maybe not the first. But yeah. So once that started and like I started getting a bit more comfortable, making friends. Pablo Lito over there is actually a good friend of my brother.
Oh, it's going to be the next my next guest.
So like I started meeting people like that who were very welcoming.
Very nice guy. Very kind. Reserved too, like you.
Yeah, dude. He's good friends with my brother. I've known him since I was a kid. Exactly.
So you start to find good person around you.
Yeah. Well, and people who I thought like hated me were mean. I was just too shy. You know, I became friends with a lot of people. I really started liking the scene. That helped because then it's like, oh, I'll just go to an open mic just to hang out and try to get a spot. You know what I mean?
So what's happened with you? Because for a guy who quit 3 months.
Yeah.
What make you stronger to come back and never quit again? Is it somebody motivate you? Did you see Rocky 2? You know what I mean?
I watch a lot of Anthony Robbins videos, you know, in the morning.
Yeah. No,
are you joking? I have.
No, it's great.
I have in the past.
No, it's amazing.
It's hard
and
for me to...
And stay there.
Sure. Now it's hard for me to watch that shit because I'm very cynical as you do comedy.
Oh, no, me too. I don't...
It's hard to watch it and you're like, yeah, you're full of shit, bro.
But I know, but in general, the mentality is...
Well, yeah.
Everything is possible.
Yeah, what made me stop is just like, I just kept...
But you came back.
Yeah, I came back.
How you came back after 3 months you quit?
I
What did you say to your ego?
I was like, fuck it. What are you... what are you doing not doing this? Like, yeah. I couldn't. It was too painful not to do it.
And it's still painful. Less because, but it's still painful. It's always painful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But now you feel reject. It's a reject painful.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You want to be part of, but nobody gives you an opportunity, you know?
Yeah, I felt alienated.
So what's happened?
I started making more friends, and I started just focusing on it more, writing new shit and trying stuff,
But you grew so fast, man, in 4 years. Now you have your own night of comedy. You take the place of Abba and Preach with Emile Coury.
Yes.
Every week,
Tuesday night,
it's big, though. It's a lot. You need the next Tuesday arrive fast, huh?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, exactly.
So you can sit in your ass. You have the opportunity. Let's talk about that. To open for Sugar Sammy.
Yeah.
You're gonna tour.
Yeah.
Across Canada.
I did Ottawa already in the Maritimes. Wow. And then,
think about that. Did you imagine that? If I said to the guy in Korea. Who did the first show, say, don't give up, man. A great opportunity for you. You know what I mean?
That guy in the first set would have been like, yeah, I know, motherfucker. Because I was cocky back then. I was like, yeah, I had hair and shit. I was like in shape. You know what I mean?
So how do you respond? What's happened? Sugar Sammy saw you?
I think he saw me at the works before I was hosting one time, and he was like, "Oh, great!" He popped in to just do a guest set.
So he called you to offer you the tour.
I've already opened for him once.
Okay.
At Olympia.
Okay.
In 2018, he did a show at Olympia. You're gonna hear the bilingual.
Yeah, he said he called you.
He messaged me, texted me, messaged me.
Is it a joke? Did you believe that right away?
I got a message on like Facebook Messenger, like, "Hey, it's Sugar Sammy," and I was like, "What the fuck? Huh? What?" Because I'd met him, and like he had been nice and complimentary, but I thought it was like, oh, he's a nice guy, he's encouraging. I didn't think he actually even watched my set. Because he was like, oh, that was really good. And I was like, I don't even think you were in the room. But he was, like, in the back, you know, I guess.
Okay.
But, he messaged me, and I was like, shit.
A big show, it's front of...
I did Olympia, it was like 900 people, it was crazy, it was awesome.
You did not sleep this night, huh?
I slept, but not a lot. Yeah.
Because you want to keep that, man. Keep the vibe, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
You know when I kill, look?
Afterwards?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, afterwards.
When I kill, I stay alive because I know tomorrow I'm going to bomb, so I want to keep that
joy. Oh, yeah, for sure. No, afterwards I didn't sleep. Okay. There's been times I haven't slept.
So now, how you feel like you're gonna tour with Sugar Sammy?
Great. I already have done a few dates, right? I did
Ottawa. I know, but are you grateful? Is it something?
I'm so grateful, yeah.
Let me think about that.
It's tough to be...
Wednesday,
just because
you go to Winnipeg.
I'm going to Calgary.
Calgary?
It's crazy because it's like I'm so grateful and I'm so happy and it's like such a nice gig.
Do you pinch yourself sometime? Is it something?
Yeah, when I was in the hotel in Ottawa, I was like, this is wild. And like walking through the theater in Ottawa was so nice. When the fog is coming up in a theater, you're like,
because
it feels like a dream.
Because you deserve it, but I don't know if you know you deserve it because you work so hard. You know, because in life, work hard, you know what I mean? Talent, timing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, luck. There's so many factors.
Exactly.
For sure,
you got all of that. You know why? Because you did not cheat. You know, you know what I mean? Some people say, why it's him, not you? What did you do? You know what I mean?
Luck's a factor too. He saw me at the right time at the right place.
Exactly.
The reason he took me on tour, he said, is because I was... Oh, this is a good story, very quickly. A very gig, very much like the Villeray. Way worse, actually. Sid's show in Rosewood. Good bar. It was a good show. You were there that night? Yeah. No, I don't know if it was that night. Because I've done it. I hosted it a few times.
Yeah.
Was Sammy there that night?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it was.
Yeah.
You went on before him?
Always. Yeah, you were the last one.
Yeah, okay.
And I did twice. And he went
That's
twice.
When no one was listening in the beginning.
Yeah, I told you. I went outside and I said, man.
Yeah.
And another time I said to you, You work hard. Three times I told you that. You don't remember that? I said, great job, man.
Maybe.
You work hard, man. Yeah.
I thought that was another night, because there's been a lot of rough nights.
I was there, man. I encourage you to the shitty job. You have to fight for us.
Yeah, that was horrible. Because I went up half the people.
I'm always first.
I remember, but I thought that was a different Rosewood night. Because there was two times I hosted where it was like... I start the, hey, how are you guys doing? No one responds.
Yeah.
No one even acknowledges the show is going on. Yeah. Half the people are not there for the show.
Yeah.
They're just there to...
Upstairs.
They're annoyed that you're talking.
Yeah.
So you have to fucking shut everybody up, let alone get people laughing. You have to shut them up, right? Yeah. So in my mind, it went horribly because I didn't get a single laugh off the top, but I did get them to be quiet. Not a single smile or laugh. And in between the acts, I couldn't get anything at all. Like, I was bombing in between. François Bellefeuille was there that night, too.
Yeah.
I felt so bad because it's like all these people I respect, and I'm like, they all think I suck now. You know what I mean? Yeah.
First impression.
Yeah, because like I work with François and he'd been so nice, and I thought he only had a good impression of me. I brought him up to like dead silence. I came back on and like I couldn't get them, and like it was bad. And I saw him looking like in my mind how he was like, oh, you're. Ooh. You know what I mean? So I left so like shoulders dropped, and I was like,
Do you want to quit?
I wanted to quit so bad that night. And honestly, have you ever had somebody try to compliment you, but they diss you so bad, like they're trying to be nice? The DJ that night was there. He basically was like trying to say you should quit in a nice way. He was so encouraging. He's like, don't give up, man.
Don't give up, man. Cool. You can work at Provigo, man.
Exactly.
You know, he was like, do so many things.
He was basically like, you know, I didn't know I wanted to be a DJ. I used to do this other thing, but now I'm a DJ. He's like, you never know, this will lead you. And I was like, fuck. I was being nice, and I was kind of like, yeah. Because I bombed, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
But I wanted to, like, I'm not violent. I would never do that. Yeah. But I wanted to just grab his fucking neck and slam his head into the table. Like, you don't know anything about comedy. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, it's not my first time.
Exactly.
I've done this 1,000 times. Exactly. I've killed. I've bombed.
Exactly.
It was rough. Yeah. You try to fucking do that.
Yeah.
Don't fucking tell me. I was so mad.
Yeah.
So I guess that was the same night you told me good job, and I was probably like, fucking. No, I wasn't. You're just saying that. And then Sugar Sammy came and he was like, "Hey, that wasn't easy. Like, good job." And I was like, "Yeah, whatever. Shut up." Yeah. I obviously didn't. You know, in my head, I was like, "You know, you don't mean this. You're a nice person and you want to encourage me. And you know this is a hard job because you had to go through this in the beginning.
Oh, man.
And you wanted to encourage me, right?"
Sugar Sammy had an amazing journey. You know.
Yeah.
He struggled worse than us. In the past, you know what I mean?
It's been so cool hanging out with him and getting to talk about those times. He's been telling me, he's been telling me crazy stories.
I know. Wow, look at you, man.
Comedy in strip clubs.
Sugar Sammy, he said he's going to come talk about that here.
Oh, cool, man.
So I hope you see he's going to come because the guy is...
He should quit
1,000 times. Everybody will understand, you know?
He never quit. Amazing stories. Yeah. It's been a dream doing the shows, but then afterwards getting to hang out with him and having him give these stories to me, I'm like... It gives me so much faith in not like being just fucking Lauschbus. You know what I mean?
So, justement. Yeah, so yesterday, what's happened yesterday?
Oh, geez. Okay, so very quickly, that night. So Sammy told me I took you on tour because I saw you.
Bombing?
You didn't break that night. He's like, you didn't break.
Wow.
You didn't break.
So you give you the respect.
Yeah, he was like, that's what he's like. You know, if I have a rough night and if I'm getting a rough audience. Who knows?
Yeah.
In some show, I know you're not going to break.
This is the reason why he told you
He said that's the reason that I took you on tour.
Wow.
So that's luck, too. What if he didn't pop in that night?
I imagine.
You know what I mean?
Imagine.
There's a lot of luck.
Yeah.
There's a lot of luck. People see you at the good times. Yeah. I've had that, thankfully, with a lot of the bookers in Montreal. The first time they see me, I do well. You know what I mean? Like David Acker. He generally, when he's there, I do well. When he's not there, I've bombed him.
Because you elevate your talent. You know, it's important. You know,
but not just that. I try to do well otherwise. But like, I've done plenty of bombs. Franco too. Like, I
so just pretend he's always there.
Yeah, no, I try. Like, he saw me do well the first time, booked me, and then like I've eaten shit in his gigs. What happened here last night?
What happened last night?
Show at Peroni's. A guy named. I don't want to give names. A guy who was hosting who I've never really met. Very inexperienced.
Okay.
I didn't know who he was.
Was not you.
It was not me.
So now you know you're good.
I guess. But yeah.
Oh, come on.
I know I'm good. It's just there's a difference between being...
If yesterday it was you who host, is it a good show?
Who knows? I think it would have been better.
Come on.
I think it would have been better.
You want to... It's like rock, paper, scissors?
It would have been better. Okay, it would have been better.
I know that guy. He's a good guy, but like you said... So the guy who hosts and produces, he bombed.
I don't know what happened off the top. I wasn't really listening, but he didn't seem to get any laughs. The crowd was very rowdy. It was like a zoo.
Oh,
it was a zoo. People were yelling, not listening.
Okay.
The first few acts did what they could. They all... Yeah. I didn't watch
everything.
How many acts? There was like five acts.
Exactly.
Yeah,
five
and a headliner.
And you're in the five act?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did you, how was your show?
I came on and I was like, because the other people kind of were talking to the crowd, which was good and bad, but the crowd was so talkative. So I got to the point where like, you've been talked to, you've been addressed. I'm not going to fucking talk to you. I don't care if you're talking.
Oh, did your time?
I had to fucking talk to them because going nuts.
Yeah.
But for the first little bit, I'm like, I'm going to do material. I'm going to like be engaging. Hopefully you'll shut up. And that did, that worked for the first 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Then Pocket started yelling. A guy got up during my set. He had gotten up before and gotten on stage before.
Oh.
He got up to me. And I don't know what he, if he was serious or not, but like I kind of turned and then he was on stage. And I turned and he just sat down. And I just kept going. I made fun of him a little bit. And then I kept going, kept getting interrupted. And then I just kind of, I finished the set. It went well enough. ABBA had a similar set. He did better. He did what I did, but a little bit better. He shut them up a little bit better. And he was a little bit harsher to them. And he, you know, had some crazy, I don't go into like, crazy shit happened there too. There's like, I go off in a lot of directions. But there was like two specially hecklers that wouldn't shut up, an older couple. They wouldn't shut up. That was the guy who got on stage. And like afterwards I was like, I didn't think anything of it at the time, getting like a guy getting on stage, like he's just being an idiot, and I kind of shut him up and he was really stupid. But afterwards, like, talking to the comics, they were like, yeah, that's fucked up, like you kind of had a right to almost push him off stage.
But now I feel like you're not scared anymore, you know, and like you deserve where you are now, you know that? You start to know that?
I mean,
like, because you, after the show you never said, I think I'm gonna quit. You don't think about that anymore.
Oh, I absolutely think about that.
But you know it's not your fault. It's the circumstances, you know, it's the...
Yeah, but you could always do something. Like, listen, circumstance, there's levels, man. Like, with Villeray, I struggled. I kind of had them in between acts sometimes.
Yeah.
But you destroyed. So I see there's a level. Like, everyone shut up when you were up
there. Yeah.
And people were dying. So it's like... I'm not bit. You know what I mean?
I know.
Much to go.
I know.
So sometimes I'm like, there's so much more to go. So I still think about quitting all the time.
Okay.
All the time. Even with the tour and everything. I'm just
like, oh, yeah, really?
I'm not going to quit during the tour. That was
wait after.
But sometimes I'm like, because here's the thing. The tour is amazing, but unfortunately, I'm very negative minded sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes I'm like,
understand, man.
I know it's going to be over,
yeah.
And I'm already imagining it being over and being sad.
It's always a down. Because
then it's right back to some...
Yes. Moncton, if you go back, if the last show is Moncton, it's going to be a double down.
I already did Moncton, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so you know what I mean. Yeah. So listen, last question, it's amazing.
Yeah, I don't want to keep Paul waiting.
Do you think the Expo are back in Montreal?
Oh, geez, I don't know anything about baseball. But
you know that for the last 6 years,
yeah,
everybody go to the Olympic Stadium, saw the preseason Blue Jays to encourage the baseball come back here. Do you know that?
I didn't know that. I didn't know they were going to watch the preseason.
Yeah, every year.
I think so, because I see so many Expos hats. That's all I got to say.
It's not your sport.
It's not my sport. My first set ever, I was wearing an Expos shirt.
But do you think it could be fun to have the Expo in Montreal back?
I find baseball horribly boring.
Okay.
I would go, though, because it's a cool place to hang out, probably get day drunk.
And you said you don't care about the Montreal Canadiens?
Not really.
So do you think they're going to make the playoff in 2019-20?
Did the season start?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably in September. Nah.
You don't think?
Nah.
Exactly. Me too. I don't think.
Since when do they do that?
Exactly. So, what is your favorite sport? Soccer.
To play soccer.
No. To watch.
To watch. I watch actually MMA now.
MMA.
Martial arts.
Yeah.
Watch a little UFC, boxing here and there.
Man.
Yeah, like blood.
You have the face of a UFC guy. You choose comedy.
I look like
we are so grateful, man, because you're amazing. Okay.
Oh, hey, man. Thanks for having me, dude.
I think you're a great human being.
Oh, buddy.
And I think you should give you a chance, you know, every time something bad arrives, because we need you in comedy. Okay, you're funny, man.
I'm gonna listen to this every night. This is my Anthony Robbins moment. No, please keep going.
But not with a Kleenex box on the side, okay? Please.
What I do in my house. What I do in my house.
You're a great guy, man. It's why every time I saw you, that you have great joke. I'm jealous of your Bamba. Go see him, Bamba joke. It's blah blah blah. You're a flower, like you start to, you know, explode, you know. So continue to believe in yourself, okay? And let the life give you the opportunity you have, man. You know what I mean? This is a sign. If you never saw something arrive, it's tough to believe in yourself. But when Sugar Sammy said, I want you because you did not broke, and with all the experience you got in Korea and the guts you have in life, believe in yourself, man. I love you, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Merci d'être venu, man.
A lot of respect. Thank you for
having me.
Let's
go piss, man.
Thanks for having me.
Wow, 1 hour, man. 34 minutes, tabarnak. Oh,